take the sky. Life has its turns and it takes a while. And it was nice, nice to hear you smile.
Welcome to Hollywood Ungagged, the Kirsten Robb of political podcasts.
Woo!
Election special, we love doing these. I'm joined by my two guests, our digital Michelangelo, our editor-in-chief, it's Miss Deborah Torrens. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. How are you doing?
Deborah's tired, she's knackered, she's been campaigning for the SNP, and she's still here, powering through, because I made her. We've got Falkirk's finest, the Pizza Hut prince himself, Mr. Hello. Brian Finlay, who's been working in Northern End political, as far as I know.
Oh, shade.
And he's half canned because he's going on his holidays in the morning.
He's not half canned. He's on his second glass of Merlot. So, yeah.
Merlot. He's drinking Bucky out of Merlot belt bottle. <That's what's happening.
laughs> How are you doing, David? You must be.
I'm absolutely shattered. I came straight off a night shift. I had to rush home, get changed, get the wains to school, get up to the count, and then couldn't even sit about eating tea cakes like usual because I had baby Matthew with me, so I was too busy fending off MSPs, so we were all trying to talk to him and mob him like he was a celebrity. I did get to take him up on stage as well when I done the count, so.
Oh, lovely.
It's nice. So
well done, by the way, to the Greens.
Yep. We don't have a plan here. Usually we have quite a regimented agenda, but we've just kind of come straight on here. We no plan. We're just going to blather about the... Right, in a minute, Max. In a minute. You can join in too.
I think that's my kebab.
Deborah's kebab's here.
Kebab.
The level of professionalism is astounding here. So you get your kebab. Let's turn this into an... What do you call it? An ASMR? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. What's that?
Deborah's got to come back and she's got to eat the kebab. Look.
Yes. Is it there?
Is that your kebab?
Yes, but sorry, Jeannie's getting it. I campaigned so hard that I have run out of calories and I'm so tired, so I am unprofessional. I'm very sorry. I also campaigned so hard that I broke my wheelchair, like actually destroyed it.
Like in several places, did you?
Two flat tires, broke the back catch, my foot plate was all squinty. And then when I took it to the mechanic, it's like, I'll just replace the caster wheels in our hand. It was just destroyed.
If you replace all the bits, is it still the same wheelchair? Or is it like the...
It's like getting a wee upgrade. When I went back to the polling station, I felt like I was pushing on air.
I was just thinking, is it like Trigger's broom that he's replaced the head and the handle 17 times? Or is it really the same broom? That's philosophy, and we're here to talk about politics. So, seems to be the story of this election across all the different corners of the United Kingdom. It seems to be the Tories are taking a tanking.
Womp womp.
Lost 62 seats right across Scotland.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was 337 across the whole of the UK.
I think it's even more than that now. I think it was 320 just in England. So just checking the results here. In England, as it stands, there's still a couple of councils left to declare, but as it stands, the Tories have lost a third of their seats that they held. What is quite surprising, though, is the biggest beneficiaries has not been Labour. It is the Lib Dems.
Mm-hmm.
Lib Dems have picked up nearly 200 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw that coming?
It was old Joe Swinson.
To be honest, I was kind of thinking like, okay, we knew the Tories were going to plummet, but we didn't know who was going to benefit. But I didn't think the Lib Dems were going to benefit as much as that. I think that I expected it to quite evenly split across, like, I don't know, Lib Dems, Labour, like the Greens doing particularly well, maybe independents in certain areas in England. But apparently the Lib Dems are on a complete surge. I was just reading some interesting articles before I came on. St Albans Council, which is a solid, bearing in mind England's first past the post, really, really solid Lib Dem council. They had a majority last time, but actually the Conservatives lost 32 seats or something ridiculous like that in St Albans, and Lib Dems basically got them all. So now they've got like, I think it's crazy, like 85% of the seats or something like that in that particular council. So it's Aye, Davey's going to be chuffed. Who knows what stunts are going to get pulled with that fantastic result.
I'd ask Deborah what she thinks, but she's got a big bit of doner meat hanging out her mouth at the moment. Deborah, care to join us?
I'm so sorry. I'm so starving. I'm also trying to fend off Max, who's sitting right there.
Like they're wanting some doner meat.
Yeah, man, you've got a doner meat. Come on. What's stingy?
South Tyneside, that was a nice gain for the Greens. Nearly 50% the vote increase. I think Greens done really well right across England, and just things you love to see is Tories losing seats, losing vote shares, losing control of councils. Not a single control of a council in Scotland.
Nope.
Just
and Wales just as, either. And Wales.
Norway. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't notice that one.
They only had sorry, you go, David.
No, you go.
I was just saying that the only council that the Tories had control of in Wales was Monmouthshire, but they lost it. It's now no overall control. So the Tories have no overall control of a council in Wales either.
Yay.
Really good. I do think it's a wee bit funny with the Lib Dems, because here in Eastern Bartonshire, they just stayed the same. They had no gains or anything. So... that's why I made the Joe Swinson joke. I just I think overall it's going to be interesting to see what transpires with some of the, you know, combinations of results across all the councils. Are the Tories done, like in Scotland? Are they done?
Let's hope so.
I mean, certainly 2017, I think there's always got to be a high mark for them. I expected them to drop more last year at the Holyrood elections, but the crash has certainly came now. Just you were talking about the Lib Dems there, in my old stomping ground, Cambus Lang, Norman Ray, picked up a seat.
He did.
From, I never thought I'd see the day that the Tories would win a seat, Cambus Lang, but they did it in 2017. And that seat has now been lost and went back to the Lib Dems. And I think that is the Tories been driven out of Rutherglen and Cambus Lang.
It is.
As they should never have been in the first place, but we've cleansed ourselves of them.
Yes. No Tory councillors in Western Bartonshire either.
No, that's good. Yeah, the whole Rutherglen Cambus Lang having Tories was a bit of a strange one, obviously being in Rutherglen at the last council elections and standing in Rutherglen South myself. That Rutherglen North, the fact they got Rutherglen North was a total surprise, wasn't it? I think it was like really, really late on in the cycle, and this paper candidate who'd clearly not expected to win won a seat in Rutherglen Central and North. And but he has lost his seat and it's gone to SNP. So you've got one Labour and two SNP.
I don't think he was even at the count today, from what I could see. I think he must have known that he was not getting back in and just decided to ditch it.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the results across England, you know, obviously it's an absolute shocking result for the Tories. But it's not that impressive a result from Labour.
It's terrible.
They've marginally increased. They picked up... They had over 2,000 seats and have added 50 seats, which is less than what the Greens did.
Yeah.
You know, which in proportion to, you know, the Greens, that was effectively doubling their representation. And, you know, it's a quarter of what the Lib Dems managed to do. So, despite what I think certain people will be saying in Labour HQ, this is not exactly a resounding success for Keir Starmer or an endorsement of his leadership or the direction he seems to be intent on dragging the Labour Party.
Nope. There was an interview by John Curtis on the BBC earlier, and he just confirmed that Labour in certain parts of the UK did not perform any better, or in fact worse, than they did under Jeremy Corbyn. So I'm sure the Blairites and the centrists would have loved that particular comment from the person who generally has a very good understanding of the patterns of voting right across the UK.
What were some of the biggest shock, surprise results for you across England, Wales, Scotland, any of them?
That's a good question. I was surprised that Labour done so well in Glasgow. It actually came quite close to becoming the biggest party again. I know there's been a bit of dissatisfaction with the SNP administration there, but I didn't expect them to come so close to actually losing power. So that was quite a surprise for me.
I was actually expecting SNP to not be the biggest party in Glasgow, so I was quite surprised that they were, to be honest. I think that particularly when I seen the result for Langside with Green overtaking Susan Aitken, I think that that was a particularly striking result for the Greens. And what you're saying is the dissatisfaction with SNP under some of the strike action for the refuge workers. And basically, I think Susan Aitken's general attitude as leader of the council has not been very well received. So I actually expected them to do worse. I'm quite surprised that Labour didn't just nip in front of them. But I think it will be interesting to see the makeup of Glasgow City Council, with the Greens doing extremely well and getting 10 seats in Glasgow City. So it will be interesting to see how that administration is formed, and if the SNP decide to, you know, operate as like a minority or what it is that they choose to do. So it'll be really interesting to see the makeup of Glasgow City Council.
I thought Susan from Langside, her result was, I wouldn't say surprising, but I was a bit 10% down.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Hunter, we can't not mention one of the ungagged contributors. I think it was interesting, but also it's sort of sweet, bitter pill, because mm-hmm. what an amazing result for the Greens. Amazing. Glasgow's first trans councillor. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, sorry to see Mary lose her seat as a friend of ungagged, but she has now gave us a fantastic moment of when the transphobic person tried to come and gloat over her defeat and claimed that it was all a result of her abandoning women. And Mary quite deftly pointed out that she lost her seat to a trans woman. So that is just, that is one of the best moments. And that tweet will go down in history, I think.
I think so.
An absolute chef's kiss. Perfect.
Beautiful. Yes, Mary.
It is.
I thought it was also a surprise for me that Dundee gained majority. It was a no party majority council before, but I was off my radar. So when I saw that come through, I thought, yes, that's nice.
Yeah, as somebody who lived in Dundee, I was quite disappointed to see that. I'm not a huge, massive fan of majority council, so I think particularly under the STV system that we've got. And I've got a few concerns about Dundee City Council under the SNP. I think from what I've seen in some of the coverage, there was a really good socialist long-term Labour councillor lost his seat, which is really, really disappointing. I've seen that there was one particular candidate in Coldside, the Scottish Greens, just missed out and been elected to be the first Green in Dundee, which is really disappointing. So yeah, I think obviously it's good for the SNP, it's good for the party. And where the SNP generally done really well in 2017, I think that the SNP was quite disappointed, I think, with the overall result that they got in 2017. I think a lot of people were expecting to be better. The general election result in 2017 wasn't particularly great for the SNP either. So I think that they were hoping to maybe, I don't know, swell their support in this election. But I think they gained 23 seats in total, if I remember correctly, there or thereabouts.
24.
So I'm sure they'll be happy with that, but, you know.
I can break it down if you want further.
Go for it.
SNP got 24.
Mm-hmm.
Labour got 18.
Mm-hmm.
Lib Dem got 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greens, 15 more.
And they almost doubled it. Almost doubled their representation, same as England.
Yep, you're up to 34.
I've got slightly different results here.
Have you?
Yep. According to the BBC, SNP are 22 up, Labour are 20 up, Lib Dems are 20 up, and Green are 16 up.
Well, maybe I've taken a screenshot too early. Wait a minute. Go, give me your ones then. I was pure all pleased with myself saying I'll take that. They're calling me unprofessional and I'm pure organised.
I'm just glad you swallowed your kebab before reading it. SNP 22 up in seats, Labour 20 up, Tories 63 down.
Womp.
Lib Dems 20 up and Greens 16 up.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what point we're making there.
We're basically just saying that the SNP done well. Sorry, that's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. That they've done better than they did in 2017.
And the Tories
did now.
Collapsed.
Yeah.
Well, considering we're so often talking about how Scotland and England are so divergent in their politics.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the results are quite similar. It's the Tories dropping a shitload of seats and just everybody else taking it, grabbing a share.
Really interesting.
Except Alapa. They didn't get any of the pie.
Yeah.
Not even a crust.
Not even a wee bit of my kebab.
There was not a crumb left for Alapa. Not a crumb.
Alba and the family party. No seats between them.
Womp, womp, womp.
It was nice.
There was a result in for Clyde that was quite interesting as well.
Yes, there was.
I'll just double check because I don't want to get the numbers wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a former leader of Inver Clyde Council, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Who was the leader of the SNP Council, as it was at that point, and he defected and has been seated at the right hand of Alex Salmond.
Mm-hmm. Literally. Mm-hmm.
Just looking here to see how he, just to see how he got on. You know, up and comer, hot shot to the Scottish political scene. That's right.
A literal
superhero.
And also ran to be the deputy leader of the SNP at one point, didn't he?
That's true. Sorry, there's obviously some kind of mistake here. They must have left a zero off the end because it's hilariously it's saying he only got 126 votes. That cannot be right for such a colossus of Scottish politics as Chris McElhinney.
It's Christopher.
Christopher.
No, I'm joking.
Get more letters in his name than he has votes.
Oh! It is a higher Scrabble score, I'm sure.
Possibly.
I mean, is this Alba finished? Like, are we going to be rid of them now? That's two elections in the trot. They've absolutely been embarrassed, rejected by the electorate, lost all the representation that they had through defect, that they gained through defections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see them limp on to the next general election because they still have a couple of borrowed seats in Westminster? What do you think? Deborah, now that you've finished your kebab, let's hear what you've got to say.
I've not finished it. It's still sitting there tormenting me when I eat it. I do think that Alba are just, what a ready man. Former First Minister of Scotland, Alex Salmond. I mean, it's his party. Like, he's surely got to throw in the towel. I don't know if he will, though, because they're all absolutely delusional. And this will be a great result for them because they got an extra dozen votes or something. I wish it was the end of them. But as you said, they've still got their representatives in other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're a sort of scheme of grifting, grievance politics and weaponising queer people has not worked out for Alba. I'm really, really glad to see it. I'm glad that they didn't even pick up one seat. I think it's a really clear message for that particular type of politics, whether you're a Conservative or an Alba supporter or a member of the party or, you know, somebody standing to try and be elected under these parties. I think that was a really clear message that was sent out today that we don't have room in politics for people like that.
And I think their whole sort of campaign was really seen for what it was at a Bishop Briggs hustings here in East Dumbartonshire. Somebody had brought up the health and wellbeing census and they were labelling it, you know, that whole sex survey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, our MP was there, the legend that is Amy Callaghan.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down like that. But see, for new candidates coming into politics, because there's lots and lots of brand new councillors, a lot of young councillors.
Mm-hmm.
I just want Alba to get to fuck so that that sort of discourse doesn't happen at the town hall, because it's no fair. If you're like, oh, this is going on, not everybody is really well prepared to shut these idiots down, because they're like a lot like the anti-cycling sort of forum, where they're just so blinded by it. It doesn't matter what you say, you could give them really rational explanations. You could say all these points you're making is a load of bullshit and it's the Equality Act or the rest of it. I just think as long as they get an opportunity to bring up that discourse, they're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think good. What it does show, though, is as much as, you know, the independence movement, we've all been kind of at times dismayed by some of the attitudes of people involved. I think it shows, though, that kind of online presence that can be quite toxic is no representative of the wider sort of electorate. The people that vote for pro-independence parties are on the whole very, very progressive in their outlook. They might not all be, you know, far-left socialists like myself, but they are generally have a progressive view of things, and Alba just doesn't appeal to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that kind of stuff appeals to, they're already with the Tories. And they're probably more likely to be rabid unionists. So that that sort of niche that I think Alba were looking to target is clearly no big enough to actually sustain a party or get them anywhere near any kind of power or influence, or even a single council seat as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite reassuring.
Reassuring
to know that we are the good guys.
And highest number of independent supporting parties elect candidates. Did you see that tweet?
I did not see that, but it makes sense because this is probably the best result for both the SNP and the...
Yeah, wait a minute. I'll read it. The best ever result for pro-independence parties ever. That's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great result for the Greens. My friend Kirsten Robb got elected the first ever Green in South Lanarkshire.
Woo! Yes! Go, Kirsten.
The first ever Green in North Lanarkshire. I think
Shetland,
breakthrough in Shetland.
Yes, Munda Islanders,
East Lothian. Yep, try to think. I think there's another couple of places, and massively increased their presence in Glasgow and Edinburgh, which they were already fairly strong in.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow, they're now firmly established as the third force in Glasgow politics. Edinburgh's a bit more kind of fractured, but yeah, it really gives the Greens a lot to build on to become a true national party at the next council elections.
Mm-hmm.
If they continue in the same trajectory.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's good to see them break into, you know, some of the other councils that they've never been in before. South Lanarkshire, North Lanarkshire, East Lothian. Unfortunately not any in Falkirk. But some really positive results for councillors who had never stood in particular wards before. So reassuring and positive. But I think as we see the Greens' success like sort of span out of the sort of main cities where they seem to have a real bolt hole in certain areas. And I think that, I think they've definitely building themselves to be in a position to be a strong national party as we head into perhaps even the next Holyrood elections, perhaps picking up one or two constituency MSPs and definitely going into the next council elections. No, I completely agree.
What do you think it means for the Greens in council? Like, do you think we're going to get a lot more pressure on the administrations for environmental issues to come to the forefront? Yeah, local governance.
Mm.
I'm quite excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting by council, and it depends on the particular individuals. Because I mean, if you've only got one, maybe two in each council, mm-hmm. it really depends on that particular person's interests and specialisms and things like that too. So you might see certain things coming out in different councils. But I think where we look at Glasgow City and where we look at Edinburgh Council, it will be interesting to see how those councils are formed, with which parties are in power, and who they decide to either create, you know, alliances with, and who they choose not to. I think that, you know, I think with the voting system that we've got, it's not quite as, you know, as straightforward as the Westminster election and even Holyrood to some extent, because nobody's won in a lot of councils until the negotiations happen. And it'll be interesting to see what types of administrations are set up across Scotland, particularly in these two main cities. Because Edinburgh's a really interesting one, because the Conservatives was the biggest single group in Edinburgh from 2017. Mm-hmm. And they went from being the largest group to fifth in Edinburgh. So it'll be interesting to see how Edinburgh is formed, because it was a SNP Labour sort of coalition deal that was in there to keep the Tories out. But it'll be really interesting to see how that administration's formed.
It's saying no party majority on the BBC website for pretty much everywhere, except Cromarin and Éireann Sar, which is the independent hold,
mm-hmm.
Dundee, which was mm-hmm. the game SNP. Spoke about, and Western mm-hmm. Bartonshire went to Labour. But that was already a no party majority there. That was quite a fragile administration that was happening. Mm-hmm. So that was disappointing, but not altogether unexpected. But what is nice in Western Bartonshire is three young new councillors have been elected on their 20s. And I think that's quite exciting. New faces in the council. I like it.
It's good. I think one thing that is quite sad actually for Labour losing control of North Ayrshire, because the North Ayrshire group that was in power have done a lot of fantastic things in that council, and I think it was actually quite sad to see that administration not have, you know, a strong footing. And I think that we should definitely acknowledge that, because I think for the people of North Ayrshire, there was a lot of really positive things done in the last 5 years, and I really hope that any administration that's formed there doesn't undo any of that really good work, but also builds on it.
There was also some great socialists elected in Western Bantamshire.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Boland back in, and there was a new community party. I forgot his name, unfortunately. I think it was Ewan, but it was Gaelic. I can't believe I did tweet this earlier on. Do you know who I'm talking about?
You're talking about Drew?
Is it Drew?
Yeah, it's the community party's been about for a couple of election cycles now. Jim Boland's very long term former SSP councillor. Who then went independent and then set up a community party. I believe there was another independent council that had joined who lost at the last election. And I've just realised I've never actually heard Drew's city name out loud. So, sorry, Drew. I don't want to try and butcher your name. But he had an excellent result. If transfer seems kind of a bit more kind to him, he might have sneaked in and got elected as well. It's an interesting model, the community party, because it is like a proper like municipal party. It's not a national based party. And I've heard of parties like that in other countries, but I don't know of many examples in the UK. So best of luck to them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a nice wee touch was when the family party got 69 votes.
Oh, bless them.
There was a wee moment I mentioned earlier when you mentioned Alba. There was not many Alba candidates in South Lanarkshire. I think maybe last year one or possibly two. But it was a kind of older lady walked up and to another woman of the same age with an SNP rosette. Clearly, they obviously must have been in the SNP together, have known each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they embraced each other like with great excitement and fondness. And then over the next 10 minutes, I saw them slowly chatting away and getting more and more sort of standoffish until they looked as if they were ready to have a full-on Barney. So I don't know, the fondness of their past apparently is slowly eroded by the new politics of Alba.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have loved to be a bit closer and heard what that conversation was, because it looked interesting.
That reminds me, I forgot to do it at the beginning, but I thought I'd tell you some stories from the polling station. Some things that were shouted. I met up with a lovely green canvasser. Her name was Sarah. We were having a great time standing beside everybody, but we were taking selfies and being nice and saying hi to everybody and saying thanks for coming to vote, your democratic duty. And the Tories, who were very glum about it all, went in and complained about us.
It just speaks volumes, eh?
I know. But when we went back, Ross Greer was there as well, and he'd went right back to the same spot. So I was having a nice chat with him. Some other things I got shouted at was, I've got absolutely no time for you. I'm not voting Nicola Sturgeon. And I said, that's okay. She's not standing here. And if looks could kill, I'd have been murdered. That was quite good. The other one, which I didn't quite understand if it was to me or to the green canvasser, but it was a very angry man. And he was shouting about supporting Putin's line, and he's taken none of it. And I was so confused. And then I realised that he was an ALAPA voter. And I was thinking, you guys are still in Russia the day, are you not?
Oh, no. I think they've withdrawn from that now.
Have they?
Since it's become less likable, you know. But talking about funny stories, right? There is a Twitter account. It's Montague90. Who in the past has created certain different personas about putting some really funny tweets forward. So he's changed his account picture to a wee ALAPA sign, and the name has changed to ALAPA Local Election Meltdowns. So if anyone's got any tweets they'd like to send to at Montague90 to be shared for ALAPA Local Meltdowns, I'm sure that'll be a nice place for everyone to go and visit and just see just some angry people.
I guess a chance to go back to Chris McKelleny and his response to losing his seat, which was a very what's the word?
Pompous,
that's a good word. Very pompous poem that is basically just a complete rip-off of what Alex Salmond did when he lost his Westminster seat. And I mean, at least pick another poem, you know what I mean? You know, be pompous. You might not be able to help that, but I mean, why rip off like the guy that he's probably starring next day? It's just ludicrous.
An ode of Chris McGillney, just before you came on, I wrote a poem with Brian Finlay.
It was lovely.
Okay.
Go on.
Oh dear, Chris McGillney. Sit down, that's plenty.
The end.
Is that a haiku?
Haiku the new.
Nobody that is listening is laughing anywhere near as much as Deborah is about a rainy poem.
It's very creative.
It was much funnier earlier on when I said it to Brian. I'm laughing at how awful it is now that I've just said it back.
Sorry, you've got the editing power, so you can cut that if you want.
Oh no, keep that in. That's gold. Oh, I'm trying to think. What's my place? What are we talking about now? Northern Ireland. I'm not talking about Northern Ireland. Still counting. Long way to go, but It looks pretty certain that Sinn Féin will be the largest party, which is quite a historic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just
To Neil though, and he doesn't think there'll be a border poll, which I'm confused by.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with Mary Lou, and she's been interviewed on the BBC, and what she was saying was the immediate priority is to get the function operating. And then when pressed again about a border poll, she said, look, you know, obviously Sinn Féin stands for United Ireland and all these types of things. And she believes that under the current protocol, with the election result that's predicted, that there should be a border poll within the next 10 years, but her party would like to see it in the next 5. So that's the kind of most discussion I've seen about it in a sort of professional context, particularly by the leader of Sinn Féin. So I think that was quite interesting. And I think that as these results start to come out and we start to see how the seats are allocated under the fantastic voting system that Northern Ireland has, it will be really interesting to see, first of all, if the administration can be set up and how that's going to function. They've got a huge amount of surplus money left over from the administration beforehand because it wasn't functioning for so long. And Mary Lou's Sinn Féin party want to make sure that money's allocated as quickly as possible to people to deal with the cost of living crisis. So I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, kind of immediately what happens in the Stormont, then what happens with the kind of cost of living policies that might come out of that, and then also what happens in a bit longer term in terms of a border pool.
Do you think that the Scottish result, the Welsh result, the Irish result is pretty indicative of the fall of the United Kingdom?
I was just going to say that, you know, the Sinn Féin leadership are probably in a very similar position as the SNP leadership of, you know, you don't want to rush into a referendum that you might lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense that you've got to see some caution for Sinn Féin. This is something they've worked for decades and decades, some might say centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to blow it at the last minute because you rush things over the last, for the sake of waiting 18 months or 2 years or 3 years even. So I've not seen any polling recently, but I don't believe it's heavily in favour of a United Ireland. So
I think the last poll was like 50-50.
Yeah, it was really close. And that was kind of during when the Irish protocol under Brexit was really heating up and there was a lot of discussion around that. So I think it was close to 50-50. I can't remember exactly what it was. But if there is a Sinn Féin-led administration, I think they will be in a very similar position to what the SNP is, where they've got a 50-50, and they're popular because they're kind of left to centre, and they're more inclusive. The DUP is basically viewed as a sort of conservative unionist-type party, which is similar to Scotland. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the north of Ireland. I think that, you know, we can talk about like Scotland and we can talk about the constitution, but I'm always really conscious about doing this with local elections because there's so much fluctuation by wards and councils and stuff like that, and why people vote for certain things and whatnot, and people voting a certain way under the STV system and all that kind of stuff. But I think with Wales, you know, Plaid Cymru, they got control of 3 councils. The Labour done extremely well in the kind of south of Wales. So I think what's happening here is a bit of a readjust within the union. I think it's a draw away from the Conservatives, but we're kind of seeing, you know, Labour is a centrist party. So across the UK, actually, they've not done that well. Whereas your traditional centrist parties, Lib Dems, for example, has done generally extremely well. But I don't know what that kind of means in terms of Scotland's politics and, you know, the north of Ireland and Wales kind of more broadly. But I think what it is a shift away from conservatism, and that wave that the Conservatives were riding for so long on Brexit and all these sort of daft issues, that's completely come to an end. And when the Tories don't have, you know, this sort of like the next big thing to you know, kind of deflect from how terrible they are in government and the inequalities and their horrendous policies and exclusionary policies and things like that, that's when they tend not to do very well. So I think we're definitely, the Conservatives are on a complete downward spiral at the moment, which is fantastic. Labour is not on the up as much as what they should be. So I think we're kind of at a bit of a crossroads where we might start to see a complete shift in maybe UK-wide politics in general, away from Labour towards maybe the Greens, Lib Dems, or whatever that looks like. But we know that the first-past-the-post system, on a kind of bigger scale for Westminster, with the media kind of perpetuating this two-party state, presidential-style kind of general election campaigns that we have, that will be kind of curbed, and that generally benefits the Conservatives.
I think over the next coming days, there's certainly going to be some colours hoisted. What's the saying? Nailed to the mast?
Aye.
Is that? I was so tired and hungry. I'm like, do you nail colours to the mast or do you hoist them? I was very confused. I think the Tories, do you think, that my next question, because I like your answers, do you think the Tories were affected by Partygate, or do you think that was just an aside to their absolute terrible record in governance and all the corruption, all the lies, all the sleaze?
I think Partygate has became the sort of lightning rod for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to be the kind of the straw that's broke the camel's back in terms of, you know, it's really, I think, connected with people the way some of the other stories haven't, even though in some ways they're a lot worse. You know, $37 billion wasted in a track and trace system that wasn't needed and didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people should be angrier about that, because that is an insane amount of money. But I also think it's a kind of money that people can't even get their head around properly because it's so big. Whereas the Partygate, I think people just relate to it more because they remember being in lockdown, they remember being pissed off that they couldn't go anywhere or see people, and, you know, you just find out that they were living it up the whole time. So I think that's became the sort of symbolic for a lot of issues.
And I've noticed as well that the Scottish Tories are very much blaming that. It's like, oh, Boris Johnson now has to go. Well, he wasn't meant to go about 2 weeks ago when, you know, it was convenient.
Now it's unacceptable.
Because now there's, you know, there was this, you know, the illegal invasion of Ukraine, huge, huge issue for the world and for Europe. And we could not possibly replace our leader. But now, because Douglas Ross has lost loads of seats in Scotland, that now, you know, it's beyond the pale that Boris Johnson needs to go, and, you know, Partygate, and people don't trust the Tories and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, it makes me really, really angry, because it's so easy for local Tories to point to Westminster and say, you know, this is horrendous. Like, you know, Boris Johnson has to go now, his time's up, all that jazz. When actually, I actually think that the Partygate, for people who might be a little bit not necessarily being impacted by the cost of living, that's the most important thing. But people that are being impacted by the cost of living, that's the most important thing. So whatever reason people were voting against the Tories, it's impossible to decipher exactly what it was, particularly in the context of Scotland, with, you know, the unionism and you know, the pro-independence support and things like that. It's so messy and different in different parts of the UK. Basically, people are just, I've had it with the Tories, whether it's cost of living, whether it's whatever it is, they've just had
their
it.
Their regressive policies, and that was my, bringing me on to my last thing that I thought we should sum up the podcast with.
So I was just going to say, I think Douglas Ross is finishing it as well.
Yes, I think so.
I think this whole episode to be Partygate has shown that either Douglas Ross, at the very least, people that are advising him, did have the right political instincts. Standing against Partygate, calling for Boris to resign was... Sorry, I was sick in my mouth there because I'm going to say something nice about a Tory.
Right, yeah.
But that was brave, and it was the right move politically. But it also showed that he's also showed that he's actually spineless, because as soon as Boris dug in, and the heat died down a wee bit, and that became harder for him to maintain, He caved on it. And now he can't go back again and say, maybe he should go now. He's blown it. I mean, he's absolutely blown it. He's tied himself to, he backed Boris, and he's tied himself to his fate. Boris is done, and Douglas Ross is done as well.
And I think the Tories are done with their regressive policies. as demonstrated in Edinburgh yesterday by the absolute legends that are the anti-Home Office mob, flash mob that turned up and stopped folk getting detained. And the Home Officers were, is that what you call them? Home Officers? Immigration Officers were sent packing just to Edinburgh. Well done. Little round of applause for that.
Well done, Edinburgh.
Solidarity.
Just, it just shows you how much you can learn from Glasgow. So keep it up.
Stop.
David's got to throw the shade.
Oh, I'm shattered.
I know. I think we're all shattered.
Deborah's hungry. Brian's drunk.
He's not drunk.
So, drunk. So, that was sharp. That was sharp. You hear that? I'm not drunk. Hissing it at me. So not only is Brian drunk, he's a mean drunk, as we're finding out here. So we better be careful. Thank goodness we're doing this in Zoom.
That was the campest you've ever sounded. Thank goodness we're doing that in Zoom.
Yeah, before it goes.
And what the listeners can't see is your lovely negligee.
It's like a cami. Yeah.
It's a vest. It's a vest with WWE jammy trousers. It's like the most manly thing you could wear.
This was fun. You going to end it?
I don't have my wee thing.
You're going to get sacked.
No, calling me unprofessional earlier.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the election results as much as we did. You can find all our previous podcasts at leftungag.org. You can also find written articles there. There's also other podcasts by our colleagues, like the North American-based podcast World Beat with George Collins. You can also listen to the Talking Sense podcast with Kat and Erin. If there's anything you want us to talk about in Holyrood Ungagged, you can tweet us at _ungagged, # Holyrood Ungagged, or send us an email, ungaggedleft@gmail.com, and put Holyrood Ungagged in the subject line. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please go to whatever platform you use and give us a 5-star review. Again, Deborah, Brian, lovely to speak to you. I'm away to my bed.
Likewise. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.